It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 32 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've been going through numbers. We actually started over so we could go through all the numbers. And we're at 75 today, one of my favorite numbers.
Mean Joe Green.
That's exactly right. Jay Bunyard's with us today, and Greg Revels has the day off. He's playing with his grandkids today. But Mean Joe Green, probably, if you asked me who is the best Steeler of all time, it's Mean Joe Green. He kind of started the whole dynasty, and the Steelers, that's kind of where they turned the corner, and they've been winning ever since.
I think he started the jersey swap, too,
yeah,
with a commercial.
that was a classic commercial. There's no doubt about it.
Out of North Texas State, I believe.
Absolutely.
First overall draft pick and a key cog in the steel curtain.
Oh, absolutely. You know, by the time, I was born in 64, and Green, I believe, was drafted in 69. So by the time I'm starting to watch Steeler football, he's kind of in the middle to the late part of his career. But you look at some of the early footage of Mean Joe Green when the Steelers were still not very good. He was just he'd go in the backfield and tackle three guys until he found the one that had the ball.
And they say he really wasn't mean.
No. Yeah. No, he said, I don't know why they call me mean. Jack Lambert doesn't even like himself. So, anything else on Mean Joe? We are Marshall. 75 is a big number for the herd. 75 souls perished in the plane crash. It's always a big honor to get to wear 75 at Marshall. Probably recently the best one that's worn is Vinnie Curry, who played for the Eagles. He played for Tampa Bay, defensive end. But 75 will always be a big number for Marshall. Deacon Jones.
Rams.
He was mean too.
Yeah.
He was mean.
Remember him?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Howie Long.
Yeah.
Howie Later. Long. Yeah. Really good defensive end for the Raiders, and then he becomes a really good broadcaster. Him and Bradshaw, they have a real chemistry together when you watch them on the pregame shows. So
Deacon and Howie both got into acting. I think they both done a little acting after their careers.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of Howie Long, you got me ready for number 77 now, talking about the Raiders. You know how I always try to get a Razorback? I've got on the interweb and come up with the world-famous Marcus Dannenhauer. Everybody knows that Razorback.
Mm-hmm. He's a classic.
Never heard of him.
Well, and one of the reasons I asked Jay to join us today is this weekend we heard about the passing of former Leopard coach Sam Goodwin, and we wanted to take a little time today to talk about him. Very instrumental, in collegiate sports and high school sports, Jay.
Yeah, Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, and of course everyone knows about his great collegiate career that they started out at Little Rock Parkview, where he won 5 state championships. That's not bad. Then Lou Holtz hired him as an assistant, at Arkansas. And then Southern Arkansas University, Northwestern Louisiana State. Then he thought around 1999, he thought, I probably ought to get out of this coaching thing. So he took a desk job as an athletic director at his alma mater, Henderson State, where he was an all AIC guard in the 60s. And but then 2010, he got back into coaching again. And some interesting stories. Tell the one you shared in church Sunday about your Steeler jersey. Tell us that story.
Well, when I first got here at the end of 2010, Coach Goodwin, I guess he and I came on the scene about the same time. And he found out that I was a statistician. And he asked me to stat for the Leopards, so I go to the first Leopard football game, and I don't have a Leopard shirt, so I wear a Steelers shirt. and I'm on the sidelines there, and he looks at me and just shakes his head. Doesn't say anything. Just shakes his head. So Monday, I'm at my office at church, and Baker knocks on the door at church. They've got me a white, a black, and a gold Leopard Coach's shirt. And said, Coach says for you to wear these.
That's a classic.
Man.
I first met Sam. He was the athletic director at Henderson. And at that time, we owned the radio stations in Arkadelphia. And he calls one day and asks me out to lunch. And I was wondering what was up. And he wanted me to help form a Ready football network like we'd done with Rex Nelson across the street at Washita. And anyway, the numbers didn't work out for the Ready football network, but we kind of hit it off in that lunch conversation, and we had lunch, maybe a half dozen other times, after that. And he told me, I guess it would have been around 2009, that he was tired of that desk job,
yeah,
and he was itching to get back into coaching, and he wanted to coach at the high school level, and I didn't think anything of it. And then in 2010, I get that call or that text, whatever it was back then, from then DeQueen Athletic Director Bob Sykes saying, we've hired Sam Goodwin as our next head football coach. And I was stunned. You look at his resume, and he really had an up and down career here at DeQueen. The first year, you got to remember, we were coming off three straight playoff runs. Loaded senior class, headlined by Greg Fatty White, Jamario Scooter Irvin, and three great years of Leopard football. And the cupboard was bare, pretty much, to be blunt, when he got here at the start of the 2010 season. And then he revamped the offense, went to the eye. Tuttle knows more about blocking than I do, but, changed all the blocking.
Blocking
schemes.
You out of the salad bar.
Yeah. changed the lineman splits, went to the I formation, lined up the tailback 8 yards deep. He wanted end zone cameras so he could watch all this work, on the field. And I asked him one day, I said, Sam, do you know what you're doing? I said, we don't have a tailback fast enough to get back to the line of scrimmage. Our blockers can't hold their blocks that long. And he said, it's going to take some time, Jay, but just be patient. It's going to work. And I said, okay. And we started out 0-8 that season. And then we played a bad Boxite team and got a win. And that brought up the season finale at Malvern, who was – very, very good in 2010, and all of it seemed to click that night, and we pulled a massive upset at Malvern to end the season. And in my 39 years of calling Leopard football, I've never had a coach, we didn't have sideline mics back then, and I've never had a coach so excited that he ran up to the press box after the game because he wanted on the radio to tell the fans that Leopard football is back. We're going to be in the playoffs next year. You wait and see. And I'm stunned. And but anyway, he was right. I mean, in that offseason, he found his fast tailback. Jay Stevens ran for over 1,000 yards. He found a great fullback, Chris Jones, who later played for the Razorbacks. And they beat Nashville, I believe the score was 38-13, went two rounds in the playoffs, had a big win over Boonville, and boy, Leopard football was cooking now, big time, excitement going forward. Then the bad news hit. Before the 2012 season, we got the word that we're bumping up to 5A.
Right. Oh.
And Sam told me confidentially at the time, he said, Jay, when I was a college coach, he said, I routinely recruited at Camden Fairview, Magnolia, Pine Bluff, Hot Springs, Little Rock. And he says, I'm telling you, DeQueen doesn't have the athletes or the numbers to compete with those schools. He said, we're headed towards some tough times.
Yeah.
And I knew then he probably wasn't going to hang around DeQueen much longer. He rode out a 2-8 season in our first year against that terrible, tough competition in 5A and resigned and moved on. But, you know, he was right in his prediction. I mean, since the 2012 season, DeQueen has won a combined total of 21 football games over the last 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he was right.
Includes a 5-5 season in 17.
Yeah. But to tell you what kind of man he was, the very day he was moving back to Louisiana, where he grew up, played high school football, he stopped by KDQN just to thank, you know, and that always, I'll always remember that. You know, I didn't do anything for him, but just thanking me for, you know, contributions to the program, stuff like that, and always made an impression on me. Just a class act.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rest in peace, Coach Goodwin. You were loved and you'll be missed. Going to talk about the DeQueen Leopards and Lady Leopards. Leopards 9-1 on the year, started 9-0, a game that Jay and I got to call last week, a 4-1 win over Magnolia. End up being a pitcher's duel, Jay, and Logan Patrician was outstanding.
Yeah, he went the first six innings, earned the victory, and the Leopards rallied late with three runs to take the lead in the fifth, couple of insurance runs in the sixth. Logan had a big home run to help his own cause and brought the bats that day, put seven runs on the board. And, boy, I was excited after that game. But unfortunately, we had to go back to Magnolia later in the week.
And then, you know, Prescott, they're kind of a non-conference midweek game. Had no trouble with them, beat them 18-3. Everybody got to play. I think everybody got to pitch. And then went to Magnolia Friday. It's a game that I watched on their live stream Friday and just, you know, couldn't put the ball in play, you know, and that we had some opportunities, had runners at second and third, once first and third, once I, and the key hit, which to me, and I've seen a lot of Leopard baseball, Jay, it's kind of plagued the Leopards now for some time. The situational hitting, I guess, is what we should say.
Yeah, yeah. I do like the fact that Coach Harris has brought back small ball.
You know,
we move runners up every opportunity we get, and eventually that'll pay off in some close games. You know, down the road when you're able to bunt a guy over or steal a base here and there. Our pitching solid, but boy, you got to bring the bats.
You do. Our Lady Leopards now 4-4 on the year. They had a tough week last week. Hosted Magnolia on Tuesday, lost 12-2. Went to Magnolia on Friday, lost 14-6. Talking to Coach Parson yesterday, again, you know, 12-2, you just tip your hat to him. But the game at Magnolia, you know, Lady Leopards leave eight people on base, you know, a key hit here or there, and that's a much closer ball game.
Yeah, they're improving, and I think Coach Parson, you know, has to be pleased with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than seven decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth, There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning, and ad hoc courses, 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And, of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com.
Now we're talking about the Horatio Lions and Lady Lions. Horatio kind of turned their season around a little bit, up to 5-3, beat Caddo 14-4. And lost to Spring Hill 13-0. And they do something very interesting this week. You don't see a whole lot anymore. They have a doubleheader with Wachita on Thursday. You know, I kind of like that, but you just don't see it in high school sports a lot.
Where's the JV game afterwards?
Where's that at?
It says with, so I'm going to assume it's at Horatio.
I might be looking for something to do Thursday.
Well, there you go. You always are.
Not always on Thursday.
Well, I tell you what, when you know, they usually play a JV game after some of the varsity games, and that game we played Magnolia here when it was that sun went down. Now it was cold and windy, and I thought surely they're not going to play a junior varsity game after this. To their credit, they did. I was ready to go home and get in the heat.
Jay and Jacob were with me that day, and I told them, there's three really cold places on Earth. There's the Arctic, there's Greenland, and they're sitting right here at Leper Field.
I knew I was in trouble when I walked up, and Tony had on his mittens, and he had on a toboggan, and I thought, okay, let's play baseball.
Yeah. It's always this season where you guys start out super cold, and by the end of it, it's so hot.
Jeff says it a lot. I mean, you call a lot more cold weather games during baseball, softball than you during football in Arkansas.
That's what I was
now, in West
say.
Virginia,
I mean,
that wasn't the case. But
I think I said that when we were talking after the show last week. The coldest I've been is a softball game a couple times. And now you get into the playoffs in football, depending on your setup. If you're outside, you know, you might get cold, but
I played it in Canada, and we made the championship game and played on the field that the Blue Bombers did, and it was minus 30 degrees. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
You caught a lot of softball and baseball. They don't give you a place to hide from that wind.
But the ironic Arkansas weather, you know, we're freezing out there early in the week, and then when we go to Magnolia on Friday, it's 90 degrees and everybody in shorts.
Yeah. Can't make its mind up.
Lady Lions 10-2 in the year. I've got to see the Lady Lions, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to be a tough customer for somebody. Going to be a tough out. Beat Mansfield 13-3. Beat Genoa. They allowed a safety in that game, 19-2. And they are really, really, really good. They're solid all the way around and can bat from 1-9.
I believe I heard somewhere they're ranked number one in the state in 2A softball.
That would not shock me at all, already with 2 no-hitters on the year.
And the amazing thing, Tony, they're very young. I mean, they're batteries like a junior and a sophomore.
Yeah.
Boy, they're going to make some noise here this year and in years to come.
Glad they're in our conference.
Going to talk about the Foreman Gators and Lady Gators. Gators 6-3 on the year, beat Cutter 18-4. Mount Ida 4-3 and lost to Murfreesboro 2-0. They'll host Taylor and Wachita on Thursday and Friday. Big weeks for the Gators. Grayson Lumley pitched 6 2/3, gave up 1 run, 9 strikeouts. Noah Adcock, 6-inning outing, gave up 2 runs, 4 strikeouts. These are all young. These are all young men too. Eli Long, he's a sophomore, hit 700 for the week, and then Hayden Easter, he's just, we talk about him every week. He hit 500 for the week and scored five runs. So Gator baseball.
He was too tired to drive the bus home. I said last week that Foreman, you know, on last week's program, they had a win against Spring Hill and Horatio, and I said those were big wins. Playing Murfreesboro 2-0, they lost 2-0, but I believe Murfreesboro is undefeated on the season also.
Yeah.
So they're playing some ball at Foreman right now.
Yep. Lady Gators got their first win of the year as they made their extra point, beat Mount Ida 21-20. and they had some big days. Zoe Whitaker had a real big defensive day for them, saved a run. Aaliyah Lee pitched well, and then Shelby Pounds got the game-winning hit for the Lady Gators. Congratulations, ladies, on getting that first win.
Tuttle, you remember when Foreman and Mount Ida played for the state football championship a few years back there at War Memorial? I think that final score is about 21-22.
I think so.
Time to talk about the Ashdown Panthers and Lady Panthers. Only one game last week for the Panthers as they lost to Arkadelphia 6-1. They'll host Camden Fairview on Thursday and travel to Woodland on Friday. Pantherettes now 3-3 on the year as they beat Lafayette County 16-4. They won't have any games this week. Don't have a lot of stats. Jim did not call a game last week, and he's my guy to get stats. But we'll have some on next week.
Well, if you were preparing for a 30-mile walk, you probably wouldn't call a game either. You know,
I wouldn't be preparing for a 30-mile walk.
That just happens when you break down. There's no preparing.
Since 1966, York Gary Autoplex has been serving Southwest Arkansas. Over 60 years of supporting families, schools, and of course, our scrappers. Just like the scrappers never quit on the field, York Gary has never quit on this community. York Gary Autoplex, celebrating 60 years of service and always going the extra mile.
Going to talk about the scrappers and scrapperettes. Scrapper's starting to turn things around, too. They're 5-2-1 on the year. That one's going to look odd all season at the end of their record. That was a tie against Star City, maybe game one. It was early. And then the classic 4A7 scheduling played Camden twice last week, beat them 3-2 on Tuesday, beat them 12-0 on Friday. Luke Boone was 7-8 on the week, had three doubles, a home run, four RBIs. If I have another kid, he's going to be named Zeus Hutchinson, 4-for-6, three stolen bases. Carson Kirby, 3-for-6, two doubles, four RBIs. Carson Chambers, who's lights out, six innings, got the win and struck out 10. And then Jason Goodson, six innings, also had a strikeout and a win for the Scrappers. They will host Southside and Brooklyn and Dale before the spring break is over. We'll have more on that next week. Scrapperette softball 5-5 on the year. Again, that odd scheduling thing. They played Camden twice and beat them by a combined 42-1. They beat Genoa 3-2 and then lost to Bryant 15-5. We talked about this with Bunch last week. Nashville will schedule really, really well in all their sports. Out of conference, they schedule really well. That way they're ready for conference. And they also beat Malvern 6-2 and 6-5. So they went from not having very many games to having 10 games, and they don't have any games this week.
Yeah, Boomer will play a tough non-conference schedule, and Scrapperettes will be right there as when conference play gets underway, indicative of that shellacking against Camden Fairview last week. Two of them.
Yeah. Yep.
Need reliable poultry equipment and service? Look no further than Hometown Poultry Supply in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. They carry the brands you know and trust, and they offer 24/7 service and repair because they know their birds can't wait. Whether you're updating, retrofitting, or starting fresh, Hometown Poultry Supply has your back.
Mina Bearcats and Lady Cats. Mina 1-5 on the year, lost to Clarksville Heartbreaker 11-10, Pottsville 12-0, and beat Mansfield 5-3. in texting back and forth with their coach. A lot of the same things we talk about early in the year. It seems like the pitching's ahead of the hitting, and a key hit here or there would really help them out. Thursday, they have a doubleheader. Another doubleheader, Jay. They play Whitehall the first game and Camden the second game. And then Friday, they play Malvern. Lady Cats still looking for their first win on the year. They are 0-5. They lost to Clarksville 13-2. And Serafina Ford has kind of starred for them. Of late, trying to get off the snide and get that first win.
I think we're ready to talk about Dirk's Outlaws and Lady Outlaws. And we have the, as Greg says, the outlaw aficionado.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's pronounced right and sometimes it's not. You never know with Greg.
He's got his shirt on today, too.
Yeah, he does.
He's got his I've always hated or loved cow, and he's got... he's got a little X. Is that X movable? Can you move that back and forth?
Yeah, it's just tape on there. I couldn't afford a real shirt. We'll get to talk a little more about Coach Cal after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, let's talk about some outlaw sports. And not near as much action for the Outlaws and Lady Outlaws last week as a lot of these other teams. You know, last week we discussed their games they had on Monday. And Lady Outlaws didn't have another game after that. The Outlaws, though, they played Mount Ida on Tuesday of last week, and I didn't get any stats. They lost a one-run game, I believe 9-8 is what I was told. And then they hosted Caddo Hills on Friday and defeated them 13-2. You know, they spread around 11 hits, but the highlight of the game was Tristan Godwin. He pitched a one-hitter, had 11 strikeouts to go along with his two hits. So good game by Tristan Godwin. Neither team has ball games this week. So they've got a pretty good break coming up for the Outlaws and the Lady Outlaws.
You think the Lady Outlaws help or hinder them having that long of a break? Tough to say.
Yeah, you can't. It's Lady Outlaws. I mean, you can't ever tell young women.
They're
enjoying spring break.
Yeah, exactly.
How many ladies do they have off the basketball team on the softball team?
Only two, I believe.
Okay. I bet those girls are glad for the break.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're practicing basketball this week. Speaking of that, while we're on the Outlaws, one thing I want to bring up real quick, and it's because when we're talking about Mena, I see where they beat Mansfield. Did y'all see the realignment? Triple A last
week? I did look over it, and I looked over you all.
The Outlaws gain Mansfield and Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me, they said, I don't even know where Hackett is. Well, I've done a couple of playoff football games there. And I said, where you take a right to go to Greenwood, hang a left and go to Oklahoma, and you'll find it.
But, yeah, that's right.
I mean, they got some trips because I don't understand the AAA.
Well,
that's a whole episode by itself.
We're actually going to launch a new podcast about that.
So uncentered.
Yeah.
So who's coming out of the league? Picking up Mansfield and Hackett. Remember? Well, put you on the spot.
Yeah, there. You did put me on the spot. I started to look that up a minute ago.
Y'all still have Junction City?
Well, we don't have them in basketball anyway.
Okay,
so,
that's right.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's crazy. Mountain Pine. We lose Mountain Pine, and I'm not sure. Cutter. Mountain Pine and Cutter.
Oh, wow.
Which...
closer trips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Next, they'll split Mountain Pine and Cutter up into different.
Well, for the longest, they had Parkview and Robinson in different conferences.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, you can throw it's rock and hit and, the other.
And a guy that helps us out a lot and has sat in with us a few times, Cody Tedford, pointed out to me last week that if the region in basketball goes that way, Eureka Springs is in the other region up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and they'll get it. That region will get it one of 2 years anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of the way it works.
Yeah.
Crazy. Sorry I didn't have more softball and baseball to talk about, but I got a little rain over with.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Causatot River. Eagles 1-4 on the year, lost to Lavaca. 17-3. Mansfield also 17-3.
Consistent.
Absolutely. Coach Pope again, some of the same things that, you know, talking, a very young team for one, but need to, a little better pitching, need to hit in spots. Lady Eagles 3-4, and Coach Dakota Barrett, who has coached something every for the last 5 years, he's not had a break. He is coaching something. They lost to Lavaca 14-0, but they come back and beat Mansfield 10-0, and had a great week from Aspen Johnson, who only hit like 875 on the week. That's not bad.
Dakota needs a spring break.
Yeah. Dakota, if anybody ever needed spring break, it's Dakota, and they don't have any games this week. Neither team, so he's going to get it this week.
I imagine he's out there tending the field.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we got girls wanting to hit.
Well, you know, like Jeff. You know, we saw that on Facebook last week. I mean, as cold as it was last week, he had girls before school. I mean, it's still dark and out there pitching batting practice to him because they wanted to get better, and he was willing to go do that. I'm telling you what, man, he can coach my team anytime.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Cossatot's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Cossatot has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than 24 fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to cccua.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out the Colts gift shop as well, and you can go to uacossatotcolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacossatotcolts.com, and go to cccua.edu today. And now it's time for my favorite segment of the program, and that is the award show, where we give out various awards to all the great players every week. And we're going to start out with the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, Tony.
Well, we're just going to acknowledge Sam Goodwin there and his memory and what he's meant to Leopard football.
Excellent. What about the Domtar Panther Player of the Week?
Going to be Riley Williamson, a name that you've heard a lot for Ashdown over the last couple of seasons.
And the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week.
Freshman cleanup hitter, Alea Lamp. And she's going to be a good winner. We'll be talking about her for a long time.
Yeah. How about the Horatio State Bank's Gator Player of the Week?
Going to be Grayson Lumley, sophomore pitcher, 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts.
Wow. How about the Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week?
Going to go with Jaden Goodson. He got the win, 7 strikeouts and a shutout versus Camden Fairview.
And the Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week.
Tristan Godwin threw a one-hitter with 11 strikeouts versus Caddo.
Wow. The Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
Although the Bearcats are struggling a little bit, Drake Dollar has had a great season for them.
The Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week.
Going to be Serafina Ford. She's having a great season for the Lady Cats.
How about the Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area in the more broad awards here?
Going to go with Shelby Pounds for the Foreman Gators. Had several hits, plus the game-winning hit in that marathon against Mount Ida, that 21-20 game.
Wow. and the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area.
Going to be the Scrappers' Luke Boone. He only hit 875 last week with three doubles, a homer, and four RBIs.
Oh, was that all?
That's all.
Oh, okay. And the highly coveted Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area and the winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air T-shirt.
The T-shirt's headed north again as we're going to go with Causatot Rivers Aspen Johnson. She hit 875 on the week last week for the Lady Eagles.
Very cool. One more thing to do, and that is the Diamond Bank Game of the Week, Tony.
Well, you know, there's a lot of unusual matchups this week because it is spring break, but we're going to go with Camden Fairview at Ashdown.
And that about wraps up all of the high school sports that we have to get into today. But now it's time to talk about some more national topics, which we love to do. And this segment is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned for all of your pre-owned vehicle needs. Visit Mina APO.
All right. The Hogs, you know, so far, my champion is still in it.
And because
I picked the Hogs. Did all three of us pick the Hogs?
I picked Florida.
You picked Florida. Way to go, man.
And it, I mean, let's be honest, it didn't hurt my feelings to see them lose.
No.
I was just.
Because there's no lunch on the line.
That's right. I mean, why can't wild card it all you want with nobody buying lunch?
Well, yeah. when I picked the Hogs last week, I said that I picked them because I thought they were the hottest team in basketball right now. And my opinion hasn't changed. I think that they're rolling.
This doesn't mean much, but Saturday night, Sunday morning, I went to Reddit, which is, I don't know if you guys ever use it, but not sports really making it up to the top page a lot, but Arkansas's win did. And yeah. The amount of comments and interaction, everybody was going crazy over the Hogs.
Yeah.
So that was very cool.
I tell you, High Point, very underrated team. As some of those mid-majors, some of these schools, they have to win their conference tournament to get in. And then once they get in, you thought, well, man, if they hadn't won their conference tournament, they probably should have got an at-large.
Yeah.
That 5'11 point guard was fast.
Yes.
High Point. But, you know, what a great story about Terry Anderson, too. Now, he got into foul trouble in the first half for High Point and only played the first two or three minutes. Had 6 points in those first two or three minutes. Mm. But then came back in the second half and had a good second half. And the link there to U of A Causatot and how his career has developed, you know, over the years. He went from U of A Causatot to Lamar, now to High Point, and gets to play in two NCAA tournament games. So
wow.
Hats off to Coach Dan and Causatot for helping develop Terry Anderson.
Well, I told somebody last week, I made a post on Facebook, I believe it may have been in a Razorback thread, where I said, you know, there's always a Cinderella team in a tournament. Let's just hope the Hogs aren't the ones dancing with them, you know, this weekend. And then I was at a wedding, and in the post-wedding activities, they set a TV up, and everybody watched the ball game for 2 hours.
That's an Arkansas thing.
my son-in-law, I told him, I said, hey, listen, this sets up for them. It could be the greatest story ever. I said, they have the kid from Causatot playing. They're an underdog, and they got a kid on the team that both of his parents played sports at the University of Arkansas, you know, the Miller kid, and I don't think he got as much playing time as a lot of them, but I said, man, it just sets up to be quite a story if they knock us off, and I agree with Tony. They're a lot better team than they were given credit for going into the tournament. So.
Yeah, and the kid that Coach Cal ran off from Kentucky, he showed out, too.
Oh.
He had a great game.
Well, you know, down below, I've got the Sweet 16 teams in the matchup that they're in. And I've heard people this week say, you know, that the time or the age of the Cinderella is gone. And you look at who's left there, and it's about right. I mean, Jeff and I were talking probably the most unlikely team that's in the Sweet 16 is probably Nebraska.
Texas was
I mentioned Texas.
I said, you know, they had to hit a last-second shot in a play-in
game. But you would probably not consider them Cinderella
no, correct.
Or mid-major, you know.
Yeah, Nebraska had never won an NCAA tournament basketball game prior to this year, and now they're in the Sweet 16.
They were picked 14th in the Big Ten before the season started.
The mayor, Fred Hoiberg, he's done a great job up at Nebraska.
Absolutely. I said if the Hogs could get out of Oregon, and they got out of Oregon, I really believe that they can make a run. I really believe they can play with and beat Arizona.
Have you watched Arizona play?
I have.
I had Arizona pick.
Whoa. But they are very good.
The Hogs are hot right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at this Iowa-Nebraska matchup, and I'm wondering if they're playing basketball or farming.
Iowa State looked good this week. They're playing Tennessee. I think that'll be a really, really good ball game. I think Texas will give Purdue all they want. And then Duke and St. John's probably, if they had a marquee matchup that the networks really wanted to, Duke and St. John's, Michigan State and UConn are probably those.
Bama's going to knock off Michigan. You heard it here first.
Whoa. Whoa. Hold on. Hey,
well, I mean, Coach Nate Oates is liable to have more NBA players playing this go around. You can't ever tell.
Have you watched Michigan play this year?
But do you know how shady Nate Oates is?
Well, we would be remiss if we did not talk about the demise of the Kentucky Wildcats, who I believe I saw this somewhere are spending more on NIL money than any other.
$22 million,
$22 million,
in college basketball. Yeah.
Pope seat's a little hot up there.
And I can't remember what it was I saw the other day, but an ungodly amount on a kid that didn't even play this year because of injuries. I mean, made like, I want to say like $8 million or something. But
is there any way we can put the Hogs in any other region besides the West region? I think we've played in the West region like four out of the last five NCAA tournaments.
And they're just staying out there. I mean, they don't have much choice, but just to...
Well, I'm tired of these 8:45
like at the
tip-offs.
Warriors,
some of us got to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. That's like going to Hackett on a Tuesday night for a conference game. Sorry.
Yeah, 8:45, that is rough.
Yeah, they play 8:45 this go-around.
Hog baseball had a pretty good week. They won their midweek game this week, which is something that they've struggled. They beat Northern Colorado 9-4, and then won 2 out of 3 against South Carolina. Beat South Carolina like they stole something on Friday, 22-6.
And the South Carolina coach got fired right after that game.
Yes. I'm not sure it was the case where they let him back in the clubhouse or not, but or if it happened out on the field, but he did. He got fired that night.
And they played better the next 2 days.
They did. Hogs won 3-2, and then South Carolina won 9-4 on Sunday. This week, and I love that Arkansas is doing this. They play UCA, I think that's great for the state. Then they play Florida for the 3-game series this weekend. Actually, UCA's baseball team will be in Fayetteville midweek, and the Hogs, the Ladybacks, will actually be at UCA playing softball. I love that. I think it's good.
I hadn't really kept up with it, but is Coach Spigner, is he still on the staff at UCA? You know, last year. Local guy.
I see you've got the Herd highlighted here.
Yeah. I do. I've got to give a little shout out to them. Their ladies are in the Sweet 16 of the NIT. They got their 25th win yesterday. They've had a good year, but they're again in a situation where if you don't win the conference tournament, you're not going to.
Mm-hmm. You know what NIT stands for? Not in tournament.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But good season for the Herd.
Yeah. You win 25
games. And what's this flag football
thing? Yeah, I don't.
Well, before we get to that, did y'all watch any of the women's NCAA yesterday?
I watched West Virginia and Kentucky.
When I turned on, I posted it on Facebook, and I had to look to see because I wanted to know what the over-under was. I turned on the UConn game. They played Syracuse, a 1-9 seed. And it was 70-17 in the third quarter when I turned it on.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. I mean,
time to pull your starters.
Well, the difference between the top and the middle and the bottom in girls' basketball And you see it in high school too.
Yeah.
There's just it's just a vast difference, and I'm not sure why that is, but it does exist. And you know, you talk about all the upsets that happen in the guys' side of the NCAA tournament. There's hardly ever one on the girls' side. First, one reason is because they play the first round in home gyms, which you know, Marshall made the tournament last year and then had to go to Virginia Tech and play them in their gym. Well,
Virginia did knock off Iowa yesterday. I watched a little bit of that game, and I don't understand what the who, H-O-O-O or whatever, on Virginia's jerseys. I don't even know what that
the
means.
Who's?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean,
one of their nicknames.
The Who's.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't know Who's was playing.
It is. I don't know why, but they've always...
You can move on to this other thing that I'm not sure what it is, other than Tom Brady was playing in it, I think. Wasn't he supposed to play in it?
Well, I don't think he played.
Okay. Well, he was on the roster.
Joe Burrow, quarterback of the American team.
Okay.
Now, my thing is, wouldn't you be worried that even if it's flag football that you get one of your people hurt? Because it's going to be an Olympic event in the summer.
Twist an ankle.
And, you know, the Americans should dominate it. But, you know, it's training camp time, which the World Baseball Classic played during spring training. That works out really well. But you got a lot less chance of getting hurt in a classic baseball game than you do, I believe, in a flag football game. You know, because how many injuries happen with a guy just running or trying to, you know, make a move or juke?
Or getting hit in the eye with a flag.
Yeah.
They might as well just make it football.
Huh?
They might as well just make it football.
What was that on? Was it broadcast?
Yeah.
Did people watch it?
Yeah. I think it was Ron Africk Cornhole.
I had a funny there, but I'm leaving it alone.
Tony, I'm going to have to chastise you here for a moment before we wrap things up. You left out the most important thing this week. It's opening day, Major League Baseball season.
Oh, yeah.
And as a minister.
I'm a Pirates fan.
As a minister, Tony, you should know that opening day should be it's the third most sacred holiday behind Christmas and Easter. Well, as a minister, you know Genesis 1:1 says, in the big inning.
In the big inning.
Okay. Yeah. So,
baseball and tennis, the only two sports mentioned in the Bible, because David served Herod's court. So,
I quit worrying about opening day when they changed it from April 1st and the Reds quit playing the first game of the season.
Went downhill from there, didn't it?
So did the Red season.
You know, the Pirates started out in spring break, and they started out playing really well. And then, of course, as we get closer to the regular season start, now they're going in the tank.
Yeah, McCutcheon has made the Rangers roster.
I saw that, Chester. Yeah. 39 years old?
Didn't surprise me when we talked about it. Jay and I talked about it. Jacob and I talked about it. I said, don't be surprised if he really helps you guys out.
Well, I enjoyed it, guys.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Greg, we missed you. What's his name? Revels? Yeah, Greg Revels.
Craig.
The star
Craig Revels.
Show.
Yeah. It's Craig Revels.
Star of the show.
From LeBanion.
Yeah. That's
right. But we just appreciate everybody. We appreciate the coaches and play-by-play guys and that talk to us. We do it for the kids, and we get as many names out there as we can. And we'll do it again next week. They keep letting us do them. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.